Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, it is official. Donald Trump is now our next president of the United States, 45th president. And as a result of yesterday's Electoral College vote, from all I can tell, it appears as if Donald Trump won 304 Electoral College votes. And that is more than enough. 270 was the threshold. And so, Sam, he will be the next president of the United States. And again, friends, we want you to understand this will not become actually governmentally official until January 6th, when all these electoral votes that have been tabulated and the electors, of course, talked about it. And that's how we know the outcome. But this will all be recorded on January 6th in the United States Senate in Washington, D.C. And our current Vice President Joe Biden, who is the president of the Senate, will have to make the announcement that Donald Trump has the necessary electoral votes to be the next president of the United States, which should in and of itself be a stunning moment to watch. And so, friends, it is now official. Those that were the faithless electors, as they have been called, were not successful. And the Hillary Clinton campaign was not successful either in trying to derail Donald Trump from the presidency. And Sam, we really did not believe that there was any serious likelihood. I mean, this has been an unusual election cycle all the way around. But barring something really, really bizarre and a mass exodus on the part of these Electoral College members voting for someone other than Donald Trump, we knew it was going to go this way. But it's certainly been an interesting process to get us to this place.
Well, Dave, it is. And I, as we said yesterday, when you asked me that question, I said, no, at the end of the day, I don't think anything is going to substantively derail this. But what they've attempted to do is, again, I don't think they really expected it to happen either, but they are clearly attempting to do everything they can to harm the process so there's not a smooth process, to raise continual questions in the minds of people with the goal, with the intent of producing a narrative and a thought process both in the media and in the public to undermine anything that the Trump administration will seek to do here on out. So it's all about, I think, staging and creating the circumstances by which the media will have the opportunity to come back and do nothing but hammer and hammer and complain and attack and undermine. That, I think, is the goal. Now, there are other opportunities for them to do things between now and the inauguration, and I think we may get into some of that in the program today, Dave. But nonetheless, this is a delay and an attempt to create confusion, but not with the intent, I don't think, to actually derail.
You know, Sam, last week we had David New, our constitutional attorney, on, and he brought up this little known, at least little known by the majority of the American populace, and that is this thing called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. And of course, David New said he thought this entire effort to convince electors to change their vote was not ultimately designed to get them to change their vote. It was to get this National Popular Vote Interstate Compact out there on the table, get states to vote for it so that the Electoral College ultimately is eliminated and we are operating based on a popular vote tabulation of I guess the achieving of a president through popular vote, not the Electoral College, which, Sam, would, of course, be a great travesty and a great tragedy for the simple reason that people like Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, any future candidate for the presidency would have to campaign on the East Coast and on the West Coast, state of California, state of New York, possibly Texas, and they would just have to win certain states and certain regions of the country and not become the president of the entire country and have to campaign all across the United States, which, of course, was the brilliance that our founders saw in enacting this thing called the Electoral College. President has to be president of all 50 states, not just of regions of the country. But where all this goes, of course, we will do our best, friends, to keep you updated on all of this. I want to shift gears very, very quickly, Sam, and go to what happened yesterday, too. Terror attacks, one of which I don't think they are absolutely declaring as a terror attack, and that is this tragic truck situation in Berlin. It has all the earmarks of a terrorist attack either by ISIS or Al-Qaeda. It is almost identical to what happened in Nice, France earlier this year. But the one that they are declaring a terrorist attack is what played out, Sam, on live television. And that is the shooting and the killing of Andrei Karlov, who was a Russian ambassador to Turkey. And Sam, I don't know, have you seen the video? I have watched it several times. It is chilling, to say the least. This man, this attacker, dressed very, very dapperly in a black suit, white shirt, dark tie. He was an off-duty police officer, fires what appears to be one shot up into the air, and then 7 to 8 shots fired into the body of Andrei Karlov while cameras depicted it. And then he shouts rants in which he uses the term Allahu Akbar. He also said this: "We're dying in Aleppo, you die here." So it's obviously, Sam, an Islamic terror attack that took place. I'd love to get your thoughts on it in general, and then I want to ask you something very, very specific. Sam, what gives here? This was evidently a Turkish gunman shooting the Russian ambassador to Turkey. Talk a little bit about the dynamics of what's going on there with respect to what's been going on in Aleppo and Russia's involvement and all of what's going on there in the Middle East. Try to give some perspective to it so our audience can understand, because much of the media is not even addressing this component.
Well, Dave, it has some complicating factors to it, I'll tell you where I think it's going to end up, perhaps. Certainly, what you have is you have a strained relationship between Turkey and Russia and Putin. That has been modifying, as we know, with certain things being done there with Prime Minister Erdogan. And we have said on this program that it looked like Turkey would be increasingly moving into the orb of Russia and away from Europe and NATO. Now, this action here is definitely going to increase Russia and Putin's response, but I'm not so sure it's going to be a response negatively to Turkey. The discussions are already there, though, how that's going to play out. And I heard a report this morning from a Turkish authority saying that this attack may end up actually putting Turkey more closely into Russia's orb. Now, what Putin has said, and I'm looking at a headline right now, is that Putin is vowing to, in all caps, obliterate ISIS after the assassination of the ambassador. I think without a doubt, it's going to increase, justify, perhaps, a greater effort on the part of Russia to complete, as he's saying, obliterate ISIS, which goes beyond Aleppo to other places there in Syria, perhaps, where these individuals are. And Turkey, I think you may find them, you seeing this example and this shooting here, as perhaps a reason to come alongside Russia, because it's clearly an embarrassment now to Turkey, because somebody has assassinated a Russian ambassador on Turkish soil.
Well, Sam, you said this may draw Turkey closer into the Russian orb. Sam, there is prophetic significance to that from the book of Ezekiel chapter number 38, and we don't have time to go into that right now. But friends, pay close attention to what's happening in Turkey, Russia, the Middle East, because all of it has keen prophetic significance. When we come back from the break, some are born great, some have greatness thrust upon them, some achieve greatness. And then, as one man said, some hire a good public relations firm. What is all that about? We're going to talk about it following this brief timeout. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But waiting different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today and how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
December 20th, 1998. William Jefferson Clinton became the second president in history to be impeached by the U.S. House of Representatives. The two counts passed acknowledged that he had provided perjurious, false, and misleading testimony to a grand jury and committed obstruction of justice in an effort to cover up an immoral sexual relationship with a 21-year-old intern. William Bennett, author of the best-selling Book of Virtues, wrote, "The last year and a half was vivid proof that Bill Clinton is willing to commit criminal acts to maintain his political viability."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler along with Sam Rohr. Gary Dull is away today. But friends, there is so much out there that we want to talk about, but something that we have been sharing with you for the last couple of weeks that has really begun to move in a great direction is this matching gift campaign that we have been sharing with you with respect to some much needed improvements that we have with our studio in order to produce not only this program more efficiently, but to do some additional things to provide help to pastors and to individuals across the United States of America via this wonderful vehicle that God has given us called Stand in the Gap Today, Stand in the Gap Minute, Stand in the Gap Weekend, which are our three radio programs that literally are carried now on just under 1,000 stations total across the United States of America. And Sam, God has been good. But would you do this, Sam? Bring our listeners up to speed with what's been going on with this matching gift campaign. Again, explain what the campaign is about and then share with our listeners where we are, because the last couple of days have really brought us to a fairly significant spot for which we're very thankful.
Well, Dave, absolutely. And I would like to thank our listeners for all of that we're hearing from you across the country. Again, I talked with a station manager from a station that carries the program in the middle of the part of the country that was saying that what he's being told is that this program is nearly the most preferred, most followed station on his or program on his station. We've heard that from other station managers in other parts of the country. That is a blessing, and that is something that we thank God for, and we want to thank you, our listeners, for listening and for communicating that to your station managers, for carrying the program, and then also from us. And tied in with that, because of those kinds of things, we are getting additional requests, both from our pastors who we are trying to serve, as well as most of our listeners, obviously, are people who are not pastors by the very nature of that. And you are asking for things from us that we can put into email updates that we give to you, that we can put in the kinds of form that can be used, for instance, in churches, in larger groups, to communicate portions of truth that you hear on this program in other places to help teach and help encourage people. And with that is a need that we have to expand our studio here, which right now is very small. Dave is in one place in North Carolina. I am sitting here in Pennsylvania, and Gary Dahl sits in the western part of the state. And we have our anchor station, which is NWFYL, which is sitting in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. But there are things that we must do in our state, in our studio here, to allow us to do some things relative to video and to some other matters that are being put upon us as opportunities and requests. But that's where we have a need. We have a need for a studio expansion, some enhancements that are going to cost us in a neighborhood of between $25,000 and $30,000. We have a $15,000 matching grant. We've been talking about it this month. Dave, I'm glad to say that at this point, as of yesterday, we have reached 40% of that goal, and it must be met by the end of December, or that matching gift portion will be lost. Now, we'll keep what we have, but we need to meet it in its fullestness and full extent in order to be there. So we are encouraging you as listeners, come alongside of us right now. There are many places that people are asking for things this year. We know that many places to give gifts, but this ministry, if it means something to you, we would ask that you come alongside as a gift. You can go to our website at standinthegapradio.com. You can go online. You can give a one-time gift. You can give a monthly gift. If you give a gift right now this month, we will give you a CD of a sermon, God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. You will really want to have it. I think it will be a blessing to you. You will be added to our email of insider report that we give each week, which is a capsule form of some of the things coming out of this program, and we'll give that to all of those who give a gift of any amount. If you give a gift of $250 now, we will also send to you a leather-bound engraved copy of the Founder's Bible, which, ladies and gentlemen, if you do not have this or don't want it, you will want this as a gift for your library. Give a gift to someone else. It is a tool. It is a source of information historically, as well as obviously containing the Word of God. It put together in such a way, it'll be a blessing to you. But, Dave, we just really need people's help this month and these few days before this end of the month runs out.
And we have, friends, just about a week until this offer will go away, this matching gift offer. So please step up to the plate and help us if you would. Sam, we don't generally talk a lot about this on the program. In fact, this is really the first time we've brought up a financial need like this and made it something that we have mentioned to our listening audience. But friends, we're doing it because the program to expand the way it needs to expand and to continue to do the things to meet the needs of pastors and to serve them effectively, as well as serve you, just the listening public, the way that we need to based on the requests that are coming to us from you. This is absolutely essential. And believe me, $30,000 is doing the kind of renovations and expansion for our studio. It's being done in a very, very expeditious and judicious way. This is not extravagant at all. The kind of work we're talking about could cost as much as $100,000, but we're being very, very careful with how the money is being spent, because it is God's money. and we feel a responsibility there. But do step up to the plate if God leads you to do so, and be a help to us at this strategic time. Sam, again, I want to bring up something that's going on in the state of North Carolina. I do not know how much this has been discussed in national media, but I can promise you from coast to coast in the state of North Carolina, all the radio stations, television stations are covering this and talking about it. And we'll just get into it and have to carry it over into the next segment. But what happened yesterday, it was kind of a stunning move. The Charlotte City Council repealed their very controversial bathroom ordinance. Now, friends, let me explain what's been going on. A couple of years ago, they tried to pass a bathroom ordinance that would say if you are a male, perceive yourself to be female, you can use the restroom of your perceived gender, or vice versa. If you're born biological male but perceive yourself to be female, then you can use a women's restroom. Well, of course, that was initially voted down a couple of years ago. 1 year later, the Charlotte City Council brought it up. The deck was stacked already. They got it passed. And in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, only a person could use the restroom of their perceived gender. That caused the state of North Carolina, the North Carolina General Assembly, to go into session. And in 1 day, they crafted the legislation that is now known as HB2. They crafted the legislation. It was passed in the House, in the Senate, went to Governor Pat McCrory's desk on the same day that it was crafted and passed both houses of the North Carolina legislature. Governor McCrory signed HB2 into law, and HB2 for the last 9 to 10 months has been the law of the land in the state of North Carolina. You must use the restroom of your birth gender, not your perceived gender. Well, friends, our governor, Pat McCrory, lost his election bid on November 8th. And yesterday, Sam, he did a stunning thing. He called the North Carolina General Assembly back into session, what's called a special session. And tomorrow, Wednesday, they will take up is going to be an effort to fully repeal HB2. Now, here's what's so disturbing, Sam, and what's so, in many ways, stunning to so many of us. I was in the governor's mansion. I heard Governor Pat McCrory with my own ears. I shook his hand. I conversed with him. I heard him speak what appeared to be very passionately in support of HB2. He said this law must remain in place. He campaigned on it. He did not run away from it. Of course, he ultimately lost. But anyway, he was so passionate about it. And now, Sam, it appears that he is going to lead the charge to repeal this law, which has cost North Carolina jobs. It's cost North Carolina a lot of things. But, Sam, principle is principle. We stand upon principle, whether it costs us our very life. What I don't understand, Sam, is this. How can someone... And I know we're not in the heart or in the head of Pat McCrory, but how can someone appear from a legislative standpoint, a political standpoint, to stand so strong on something and then coalesce at the last minute? What gives?
Well, Dave, there are circumstances and or threats and or promises. One of those things, it may be a combination of those things. It could be that there's been discussion with those who said they were going to boycott the state, who there are some deals behind the scenes being made of saying, well, we'll reconsider if you back off of it, and that kind of a thing. There's some consideration, because I'll tell you this, governors do not call their general assemblies back in for special sessions unless there is some kind of an emergency aspect associated with it. Clearly, this governor is wanting to take this action so that he can both take credit for doing it and for taking credit for getting rid of it. The next governor coming in may seek to repeal it, but it's a Democrat governor, and it's likely the legislature won't deal with it. So it appears to me that this governor really, truly wants to get rid of this law. But Dave, I will say this, that when the fight and the controversy on a nature of this point has gone to this extent, where the legislature has been gathered together, a law has been passed because ostensibly it was needed, and it was, and the governor signed it, Dave, I think it's probably close to unprecedented. I don't know that you would find another example where, having done something of this type in such quick order, to go back and attempt to rescind it. That, to me, does not make sense. But pressure from someplace is being brought to bear. The governor is seeking some kind of commendation from someone, I would say, other than God and other than the people of the state.
Sam, that is incredibly well said, my friend. I don't think it could be said any more plainly or analyzed any more correctly than what you just did. Friends, when we come back, a statement by William Shakespeare. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, some have greatness thrust upon them, and others, a gentleman added to this much later, Shakespeare didn't say this, others just hire a good public relations firm. What is that all about? We're going to adjust that statement a bit as we talk more about what's going on here in the state of North Carolina. Don't miss it after the break.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The now certified President-elect Donald Trump's new target on Twitter is former President Bill Clinton.
It's pushback against comments Bill Clinton made earlier this month to a small newspaper in New York. The former president said that President-elect Donald Trump doesn't know much, but one thing he does know is how to get angry white men to vote for him. Mr. Trump took to Twitter saying Mr. Clinton is the one who doesn't know much, especially how to get out the vote in swing states.
Fox's Melanie Wilkes. President Obama, in a statement offering condolences for 12 people killed in a terrorist truck attack in Berlin, Germany. There's a manhunt, even with someone in custody. Chief Prosecutor Peter Frank translated here.
He was detained as a suspect last night. We have to get used to the idea that perhaps he might not be the perpetrator or part of the group of perpetrators.
Fox News. We report. You decide.
WFYL. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Our communications team here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, headed by Director Dan Bartkowiak, has been doing some great work in getting the word out about pro-life and pro-family issues. One most recent example is his work exposing Planned Parenthood and what they do with your tax dollars. In a post on our Facebook page is a video Dan put together showing how Pennsylvania Planned Parenthood got a 15% raise from taxpayers last year and yet has closed five facilities, is providing thousands fewer cancer screenings and STD tests, and yet performed 600 more abortions than in the previous year. They do more than half the abortions in Pennsylvania every year. You would benefit from seeing our great communications, and here's how. First, like our Pennsylvania Family Institute and Council Facebook page, and second, sign up for our e-alert email service at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, again, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. Sam, there's going to be a major rally in Raleigh, North Carolina tomorrow with respect to this attempt on the part of our current Governor Pat McCrory to get the legislature to vote for the full repeal of HB 2. Friends, if you are from the state of North Carolina, or even if you are not from the state of North Carolina, you're not a resident of the state from which I come, I want to give you a couple of names and encourage you to contact the offices of these two gentlemen to express to them if you believe HB 2 is good law, which we here in North Carolina who have been in this battle for the last 10 months after HB 2 was passed, we who have had to endure all the slings and arrows of criticism that have come from across the United States of America, we who have had to endure the injection of millions of dollars into our state from outside entities to defeat Governor Pratt McCrory on November 8, which they were successful in doing. We who have had to be on the receiving end of all of this will tell you HB 2 is good law. It is sane law. It will protect our women, our wives, our little girls, our children. In a restroom, locker room, changing room situation, there is no need whatsoever to repeal it. It is well-crafted law. The two people you need to contact, if you want to say to them, do not repeal HB 2, their names are Representative Tim Moore. Tim Moore, he is the Speaker of the North Carolina House of Representatives. So he is the leader on the House of Representatives side of the North Carolina legislature. Tim Moore, his number, area code 919-733-3451. Let me repeat that, 919-733-3451. That's Representative Tim Moore, Speaker of the North Carolina House. The second gentleman you need to contact is the President Pro Tem of the North Carolina Senate, and his name is Senator Phil Berger. His number is 919-733-5708. Again, that number, 919-733-5708. Please contact both he and Tim Moore and let them know you do not want to see the repeal of HB 2. Friends, this would be an absolute travesty. Sam, I don't understand it. Here's what's going to happen. In fact, it's already on record. Those within the city of Charlotte have said this. If we repeal our controversial ordinance in Charlotte that would allow men to use women's restrooms, then if the North Carolina General Assembly repeals HB 2 immediately after HB 2 is repealed, we are going to seek, not only in the state of North Carolina, but other cities across the state of North Carolina, in conjunction with an organization called the Human Rights Campaign, we're going to seek to get the same ordinances that Charlotte initially passed in all other cities across the state of North Carolina so that men can use women's restrooms and vice versa. So, Sam, why even repeal HB 2 if these folks are on record saying we're going to go after it again? Sam, what kind of sense does this make? This is insanity.
Well, Dave, it's the mentality of someone who doesn't like to win, I suppose. I mean, to put it in that perspective, I mean, this is a moral victory having that law passed. Because it, why? Because it's not a political victory. It's a victory for moral truth and the maintenance of a distinction between male and female, a moral decency perspective. To repeal that is, as you say, since it's already known, to invite more types of things, just what Charlotte did. Dave, it makes no sense. Now, my hope is that in under normal circumstances, a repeal will need a two-thirds vote. I don't think they can repeal by a majority vote. Generally, not anyway. Now, I hope not. But if they, I hope this legislature, having already suffered the arrows and the barbs of the opponents of moral truth and decency, that they won't now cave and say, well, we did it all for nothing. I mean,
well, Sam, here's what's so troubling about it. On November 8, though our governor lost, our legislature, both House and Senate here in North Carolina, gained conservatives. We now have in both House and Senate a veto-proof majority. So, Sam, why repeal good law? I mean, what in the world is going on here? And our incoming governor, Roy Cooper, said that he had a conversation with Phil Berger and with Tim Moore, and both of them said, you know, we will bring this thing up, this repeal of HB 2, we'll bring it up. If the governor calls for a special session, we'll bring it up and try to get it repealed. What are these guys thinking? Sam, is it the financial loss that the state has sustained? Is it the potential future financial loss that are causing these guys to seemingly, and I underline and emphasize the word seemingly, be willing to sell their soul? I mean, what gives here? If you believe something, you stand on it. And HB 2 is not just good law, it is sanity. protecting our wives and our young girls from potential predators sexually. This is good law. What in the world, Sam? I mean, I'm at a loss, to be honest with you, to try to understand this.
Well, Dave, there is no good explanation for why. I think in time will tell. It will probably come out later, perhaps, why the governor was motivated to try to undo what was achieved at great cost and, as you say, and was the right thing to do. It would be my prayer that the legislature, having now known that they actually did increase their ranks and that the people of the state say, we want you and what you stand for and what you have done, for them to say, as a legislative body, we made the right choice by the passing of this law, because the legislature has a responsibility to provide for a uniformity in law so that all of the citizens of the state can enjoy the benefits, the moral benefits, in this case, knowing that you can go unafraid into a bathroom and not expect as a woman, a man to come walking in. That benefit, that's the legislature's responsibility. The governor, remember, is the executive branch. He's not the maker of the law. He is the enforcer of the law. I would hope that the legislature would say, we're not going to repeal it. We made the right choice. We fulfilled our responsibility. In effect, say the governor, if you now turn coward and want to undo it, so be it. That'll be on your record. But we're not going to go down on the record as undoing and basically saying that we made a mistake in the passing of the law, because that's effectively what they will do. If the legislature repeals the law, they will have to go back to everybody that they've talked to and said, well, I guess we made a mistake. That would be disaster. Politically, it obviously is a moral undoing, and that's the primary concern, but there's also a political concern for it as well.
Sam, here is the kicker in all of this. Because of an activist court, all of the members, Sam, and you are hearing me correctly, all of the members of our North Carolina legislature will be up for election this year again. Now, you're hearing me correctly. So that means this. Every member of the North Carolina General Assembly is going to be up for election again this year because of a decision made by an activist court. So the appeal on the part of our listening audience, those from this state, even those from outside of this state that believe HB 2 is a good law, which it is, they'd like to see something similar in their state to protect our wives and our daughters in a public restroom, in a locker room, a changing room, type of scenario or location. We have, Sam, the capability to exert tremendous pressure on our legislature to do the right thing, because they're all up for re-election or election again this year because of this decision made by one of the courts here. So this is critical, friends. It's absolutely essential that you call the following two individuals. I'm going to repeat their names and number again so that you can get it. Representative Tim Moore, who is the Speaker of the North Carolina House. His number is 919-733-3451. That's Tim Moore, Speaker of the North Carolina House, 919-733-3451. And then Senator Phil Berger, Senate President Pro Tem of the North Carolina Senate. His number is 919-733-5708. 919-733-5708. Sam, you have been obviously a legislator, almost 18 years in the Pennsylvania legislature. Talk a little bit about how effective it is when the constituents of a legislator, when they are contacted, the legislator is, by their constituents en masse in an overwhelming way. Talk about how that exerts a good kind of pressure on the legislator to vote a certain way.
Well, Dave, representatives are responsive to the people. They're representatives. They do respond to people when they hear. And to that extent, I would come underneath what you're saying in that our listeners in North Carolina, you should absolutely do what Dave said. But listeners across the country, You also can help by sending a note to these individuals at these addresses that Dave said. And again, you can pick up this archive on our website, standonthegapradio.com, and pick this up again. But there's a benefit even from hearing from people outside the state when you are asking them to hold the line, because North Carolina can help every other state. If they cave on this, they're going to hurt every other state. So everybody listening has a reason to contact these individuals in North Carolina.
Again, Sam, incredibly well said. Friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about this truck attack in Berlin. It is now indeed being called a terror attack, but you're not going to believe what one of our spokesmen here in the United States called it. It is stunning, to say the least. Join us after this brief timeout.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
WFYL, this is Russ.
Russ, I'm going to be out of the area this weekend, and I still want to hear your station. Can you help me out?
I sure can. In fact, you can listen absolutely anywhere you go and anytime. Go to our website, 1180WFYL.com, on your favorite mobile device. That's 1180WFYL.com. And click listen live.
That's all it takes?
That's all it takes. Also, if you are in the car, I would advise you not to look at your phone. The best solution I can recommend is the TuneIn app, available on the Apple and Android app stores for free. TuneIn has a car mode in order to make listening and driving safer. Keep in mind that this will use your mobile data, which could result in extra charges from your mobile provider. Be sure to check your plan before using the stream.
That sounds great, Russ. Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you for calling in for listening. Drive safe and God bless.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. Sam, during the break, I was responding to one of our North Carolina legislators who sent me an email and said, I appreciate what you're doing, and I am not in support of a repeal of HB2. Now, I'll say this, that is immediate response to our appeal on this program, Sam. So that is good stuff. And so, friends, please, please follow through. Whether you're from the state of North Carolina or whether you are not, please contact the names of those that we gave you earlier in the program. And before we leave the air and before I have Sam pray, I'll one time again give you those numbers once again right before the conclusion of the program. In fact, let me go ahead and do that now very, very quickly because we're going to transition into another topic. If you believe HB2 is good law, which we believe it thoroughly is, it protects our wives, our daughters in restroom, locker room, changing room situations, then you let the two key leaders in our state know that. The Speaker of the House of Representatives in the state of North Carolina is Tim Moore. His number is 919-733-3451. That's 919-733-3451. And then the Senate President Pro Tem of the North Carolina General Assembly is Phil Berger. Tim Moore, Speaker of the House, Phil Berger, Senate President Pro Tem. Phil Berger's number is 919-733-5708. 919-733-5708. Sam, it was William Shakespeare that made the statement, some are born great, some achieve greatness, and others have greatness thrust upon them. I want to adjust that just a little bit and put this word in. Some are born stupid, some achieve stupidity, and others have stupidity thrust upon them. Why do I say that? Sam, in response to this horrific attack in Turkey yesterday, the gunning down on live television of the Russian ambassador by this off-duty Islamic police officer, and then also what happened in Berlin, here is what the spokesman for the State Department, John Kirby, said. He said, and I quote, "We reject these acts of violence." These acts of violence. In fact, he was actually responding to the shooting of the Russian ambassador and calls it, Sam, an act of violence. Not an act of terrorism, but an act of violence. Now, why do I say some are born stupid, some achieve stupidity, and others have stupidity thrust upon them? How, forgive me, Sam, dumb can we be in the United States of America and in our government to refuse to address the fact that this is not any other kind of problem globally than an Islamic problem? This shooting yesterday and ultimately this attack with this thousands upon thousands of pounds of truck that killed these 12 people and injured at least 50 more was perpetrated by Islamic entities. Sam, how dumb can we be?
Dave, this we get down to the very basics of it. Mighty, mighty dumb. And it comes as a result of rejecting the truth. Because as I look at this, these people, this from the administration, Barack Obama administration and others, they're the ones who refuse to call it for what it is. That's not accidental. And that's not, frankly, Dave, even dumb in that perspective. It's a strategic, it's a choice. It's an intentional choice to call good evil. Frankly, Dave. It has everything to do with...
I know
with
you're
not,
struggling for words. I understand. I was hoping you would go there, Sam, because it's not dumb. It's deliberate. It's not dumb. It's deliberate.
Dave, it is. It's an outgrowth of a very clear ideological position that refuses to say what things are. It is political correctness, put it in that perspective, or it is disingenuous, more likely. But in any event, it is absent of the truth. And when that's the case, it is a lie that's being perpetrated, and it is that kind of thing that this entire election tended to revolve around. Now, as I'm looking at the numbers, at what the statements are, Dave, these folks, like the Barack Obama people, are still refusing to call it terrorism. Here I'm looking at a statement that President-elect Trump just made, and he calls it, and he says, quote, Trump says a terrorist must be eradicated from the face of the earth in response to the Berlin market circumstance, which is now being clearly ISIS directed, connected. That individual is on the loose. They expect him to hit again. And ISIS is calling, saying that this is but one step of a larger effort that they're encouraging across Europe. London is on alert as we speak as a result of it. Dave, the difference is one person says these are terrorists and we must eliminate them. The Barack Obama type folks say we don't even call it terrorism. It's just an unfortunate event by an unconnected person, all of which we know to be lies.
You know, Sam, it is just frustrating beyond belief to read the news reports and say they're still trying to figure out the motive behind the shooting in Turkey. They're still trying to figure out, and they will use the same identical terminology, the motive behind the driver of that truck that killed these people. It's crystal clear, friends, what the motivation is. It's Islamic ideology that is motivating these people to do this. And as Sam so powerfully said, it is political correctness gone crazy. Political correctness on steroids that keeps our national leadership currently, our current leadership, from admitting the truth and using the terminology necessary to define our enemy. Thank God for Donald Trump calling it what it is, and thank God for a man who understands that kind of enemy cannot be pacified, he cannot be debated with, he cannot be placated, he must be eliminated. Sam, this is what must happen, and thank God we have what appears to be leadership coming in on January 20, that's going to address these things by the correct terminology, and then with the help of Almighty God, do something about it. And we need to pray that this kind of stalwart stand continues all the way to Inauguration Day and well beyond. Sam, I want to do this because we've been concluding the program for the last number of weeks this way. We're going to do it again today. I want you to take us to the throne of grace in prayer. And would you pray specifically for protection on our president-elect and vice president-elect, wisdom and the courage to continue to speak the way they're speaking and do something about the threats to our nation, and then pray specifically for this situation in North Carolina and this event that will take place in the General Assembly in Raleigh tomorrow. Sam, these are critical things, so take us to the throne of grace if you would.
Absolutely. Our dear Heavenly Father, it is our privilege to come before you today. And my privilege to be leading on the behalf of thousands and tens of thousands across this country right now as they're listening to this program. We ask, O Lord, that as we lift up our hearts to you and our appeals, Lord, we do so knowing that you are sovereign, you are in control. You look down on the affairs of men. The events that occur are not unknown to you. We would pray, Lord, though, that we, as your people, and those in positions of authority, your ministers of God, those who are there to serve and do your bidding, Lord, in fact, would do it. They would look to you for the courage. They would obey that which is very clearly there in moral truth and carry out their positions. There in North Carolina, we would pray that this effort by the governor would be turned back, that those in the General Assembly would stand firm and stand tall. We pray that the listeners to the program would contact them, that they would have an influence in their lives and their actions. Lord, we pray for our president and for all in this new administration. Give them courage and protection, O Lord, as they put together their team for the purposes of bringing justice and good leadership to this country. We commit all of this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And friends, I want to thank you all throughout the program. I've continued to get response from people who's saying, I'm calling, I'm writing to the House of Representatives and to the Speaker Pro Tem, Senate Pro Tem of the North Carolina Senate, and the Speaker of the House, encouraging them not to repeal HB2, and also hearing from some in the legislature as well. So keep up the great work, and then friends, join us in 23 hours for our next installment of Stand in the Gap today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL.